Good morning. It's 9 o'clock in Barbados and across the Eastern Caribbean, Wednesday, September 13th, and welcome to another edition. We're going to spend 15 minutes with Co-operators General Insurance, where we discuss preventative measures drivers can take to avoid motor collisions and some general information as well today. If you have any questions, remember you can send an email to Sabrina Howard at showard@coopgeneral.com.
What makes an insurance company stand tall above the rest? Is it the affordable premiums, flexible payment plans, or multiple locations to serve you better? Is it because it's locally owned by the credit union movement? Is it the 24-hour emergency roadside assistance or prompt settlement of claims? Or is it the long-standing pledge of community involvement and friendship? Welcome to Co-operators General Insurance. Insurance the way you want it to be. We can help.
Join us every Wednesday at 9 a.m. for 15 minutes with Co-operators General Insurance discussing preventative actions drivers can take to avoid motor accidents.
In with me this morning is claims manager with Co-op General, Teresa Ward. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Carol, and good morning to all the listeners.
Fantastic. Now, I wonder what amazing information you have for us today. And as claims manager, all of these things you are familiar with, especially as it relates to collisions.
That is correct.
Yeah. So what is it you want to tell us today?
So continuing from last week, where we would have spoken about some issues that affected motor claim settlements, mm-hmm. we're going to continue along that vein today. So the first item I'm going to look at is the lending of your vehicle to someone to use, and ensuring that that person, that driver, has the appropriate license to drive the vehicle. So, example, if you have a private car, if you have an own goods vehicle, you shouldn't be lending your vehicle to someone who has a private car license only. And if you have
an own goods,
okay. Which is commercial.
Commercial,
yeah.
Okay.
So you shouldn't be lending your vehicle to someone with only a private license and things like that. But, you know, to even ensure that the person has a license when you're lending out your vehicle, these are things that affect your claim being settled. And if the person doesn't have the appropriate license, it can result in your claim being denied. So we want to caution persons against that. I know sometimes person just going to say, I want to borrow the vehicle to go down the road here quickly. And then you don't check to see if their license is valid or appropriate. And the next thing, they have an accident and, you know, the claim cannot be honored because of that factor. Mm-hmm. So we just want to caution people against that. But once we've confirmed that the license is in order, we then want to ensure too that the owner has given permission to that person. So it's a twofold approach when you're reporting an accident. Both the driver and the owner needs to sign off. And where it is in cases there's a delay in getting the claim form signed by the owner, what we do at Co-operators, we would contact the owner and verify over the phone that permission was given to the driver to make sure that, you know, it wasn't used inappropriately and things like that. And we then proceed to settle your claim once all is in order. So
I have a question for you.
Sure.
So I know that that's how it should be done the correct way, because my brother is on my
policy
to drive.
Okay.
My son, though, mm-hmm. who is not here, who doesn't live here, but if he comes in, he has, with his driver's license, he wants to drive my car. Would you advise me to put him on, even if it's for that temporary period of time that he's visiting?
Yes, I would advise it, because it is always a good idea to declare your drivers under the policy. The downside to not doing that is that sometimes the claims can be denied if the driver is a young driver and not declared, or there can be a much higher deductible or excess applicable under the policy because you did not declare the driver. Mm. And especially based on the age and driving experience, that is taken into account when determining the deductible. So to avoid that, you should declare the drivers so that the, you know, a more reasonable deductible is applied to the policy.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. So one of the other things we want to also remind policyholders is to renew their motor insurance policies on time. And this should be done prior to the expiry of the renewal date, because it is illegal for insurance companies to backdate policies. So if your policy is due on the 5th of September, you should renew it by the 4th and not wait until the 5th. Because in most cases, your policy expires at midnight of the day that is due. So if you wait until the actual date, you could find yourself again in some trouble getting your claim settled. So renew, as I said, before the expiry of the policy. Another point we want to raise under the terms of the policy contract is that the insurance company has the option to repair, pay cash settlement, or replace your vehicle. We've had cases where policyholders will make demands how their claims should be settled. While we may empathize with your situation, we still will follow best practices to have your claim settled and finalized.
So repair,
replace, or repair. Issue a cash settlement.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right. But the insurance company has that option and not the client.
Maybe I should be emailing Sabrina, because I would love to know how you go about determining what's the best route for the insurance company, not necessarily for me as a driver, because as you say, I may think, listen, I would like...
You have a scratch and you want it written off.
I want it replaced.
Please, correct. So factors will determine mm-hmm. what is the best course of action to be taken in settling your claim.
Okay.
Right? Another point we also want to raise is that, you know, we're always hearing that insurance companies have deep pockets. But what most policyholders do not realize that there's a very enormous exposure for insurance companies. So while there's a limit based on the sum insured for comprehensive vehicles, this is not the case for third parties involved in accidents. So for every claim made, the potential exposure for insurance companies for a third party property damage is $1 million. For death and personal injury, it is $10 million per person and $30 million in total if there are more than one person injured, seriously injured in an accident. So it is a very hefty limits that are imposed. And, you know, only a couple of months ago, our company would have paid over $8 million to a person who was seriously injured in an accident. So, you know, people complain about the premium being too high and so on, but these are the exposures that we face when we have every claim has the potential to have a payout up to these limits,
okay.
Right? Depending on how serious it is.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to stress the importance of policyholders complying with the terms and conditions of the policy they've purchased. So in cases where somebody takes out a private care policy, but they didn't rent it out for private for hire or reward.
Mm.
Or in some cases where we're seeing maxi taxis who are supposed to be designated for particular purposes, operating as ZRs, picking up persons along a route, which is called pirating. Mm. So in either of the above cases, if it is brought to the attention of the insurance company, we will investigate. Mm. And in those cases, if we find that illegal practices are being carried out, we will cancel your policy, giving you 7 days notice.
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh dear. So how often does that seem to happen though?
It was happening quite a bit a few years ago. I'm not really hearing a lot about it now,
mm-hmm.
but we still want to caution people, our eyes and ears are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So once we are notified, sometimes we have the concerned persons from the public calling into the company and reporting such persons. And as I said, we do our investigations to verify if it's the case. And if it is the case, your policy will be canceled.
Well, we're going to take a little break and come back. And I want you to break that down a little further. Say if I have, as you said, a maxi taxi, and I decide that I'm going to use it for a ZR purpose, picking up customers and commuters,
mm-hmm.
picking up commuters. Or if I hire my private vehicle out, to someone and I've turned it into a business, mm-hmm. and there's a serious collision.
Right.
What are some of the consequences for people who may be injured in a case like that and not actually realize? So we're going to talk about that after this.
What makes an insurance company stand tall above the rest? Is it the affordable premiums, flexible payment plans, or multiple locations to serve you better? Is it because it's locally owned by the credit union movement? Is it the 24-hour emergency roadside assistance or prompt settlement of claims? Or is it the long-standing pledge of community involvement and friendship? Welcome to Cooperators General Insurance. Insurance the way you want it to be. We can help.
Join us every Wednesday at 9 a.m. for 15 minutes with Cooperators General Insurance discussing preventative actions drivers can take to avoid motor accidents.
We've got a few more minutes left in this time with Cooperators General Insurance. Teresa Ward, who is a claims manager, is in with us this morning. And that question I asked about people who take the vehicle, it's registered, it is insured for one purpose, they use it for other purposes, especially when other human beings are involved, like you're using it as a ZR, mm-hmm. or you're hiring it out to people who are coming to the island who have no clue that this is a private vehicle, or right. they may have a clue.
Right. So, Carol, what happened in cases like that, where the vehicle is being used outside the scope of the policy, and as I said, if we investigate and that is determined, we will deny the claim. So if someone now is injured as a result of an accident involving where they're traveling in those vehicles or driving those vehicles and they injure someone, then, you know, it is a case now where if the insurance company denies the claim, they will come after you, the driver of the vehicle or the owner of the vehicle, to seek compensation, and which could be very hefty compensation depending on the seriousness. So we advise persons not to engage in illegal activities with their vehicles, and to make sure that it is being used for the purpose in which it was intended.
Okay. Interesting information. So what else have you got to share with us today?
Yes. So another point we want to stress too as well is that motor insurance is not transferable. This again is one of the issues that affect your claim being settled. And this occurs where a policyholder will sell their vehicle but do not cancel their policy immediately. The new purchaser of the vehicle then believes that he or she is covered for the remainder of the policy until it expires, and this is indeed not the case. If your vehicle is sold, you need to notify your insurers and request cancellation of the policy. And the new purchaser will have to purchase their own insurance to ensure that they're covered in the event of an accident. So we see a lot of that happening. Mm. Person selling the vehicle and not canceling, and the person purchasing thinking that, okay, well, I'm going to continue the insurance
insurance for the next few months,
until it expires.
I did that early in my purchasing of the car. Everybody thought that it was the thing to do.
Well, it's not. So we've had cases now where an accident occurs with the new purchaser and the insurance company denies the claim. And now that person has to pull their pocket to pay either for damages or injury as a result. So cautioning persons against that.
Motor insurance is not transferable.
Not transferable.
Sad, but true. All right. So in the next 60 seconds, just to wrap
right.
up.
Well, finally, we are again asking our policyholders to drive defensively and make every effort to avoid accidents, both on and off the road, and this includes in car parks as well, which we spoke about earlier. And, you know, to drive with due care and consideration for other road users, and other road users, not only vehicles, but pedestrians, motorcyclists, bicyclists, etc. You know, just be a bit careful, and, you know, this will ensure too that you don't have any unnecessary increases in your premium the following year, you know, when your policy becomes due for renewal.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Teresa Ward. She's the claims manager with Cooperators General Insurance. And of course, this 15 minutes comes to you every Wednesday morning. And if you have any questions, please remember to send your questions to Sabrina Howard. The email address, showard@coopgeneral.com. Thank you so much, Teresa.
Thank you, Carol. Take care.
What makes an insurance company stand tall above the rest? Is it the affordable premiums, flexible payment plans, or multiple locations to serve you better? Is it because it's locally owned by the credit union movement? Is it the 24-hour emergency roadside assistance or prompt settlement of claims? Or is it the long-standing pledge of community involvement and friendship? Welcome to Co-Operators General Insurance. Insurance the way you want it to be. We can help.
Join us every Wednesday at 9 a.m. for 15 minutes with Co-Operators General Insurance discussing preventative actions drivers can take to avoid motor accidents.